beaten Carolina this Sunday at noon at Texas Stadium. Our Cowboys Countdown to Kickoff pregame show begins at 10 a.m. Brought to you by Chuck Fairbanks Chevrolet on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
It is 13 minutes past 5 o'clock. Good afternoon, everybody. You're listening to The Hard Line. And we're out today in Denton at Fat Daddy's. Lots of party revelers up here today.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it that we're bringing the room down so, but this is something we've planned on for some time. Steve Eberhardt of History of Cliff, a Dallas broadcast veteran and major domo of that website, is here with us. We're listening to KLIF audio of November 22nd, 1963, around noontime and in the hours before and after. Now, we were going to play something a minute ago that, for whatever reason, didn't fire off. What was that?
Yeah, this was Gary DeLon, the reporter that initially was reporting on KLIF. And I talked to him and I said, you know, give me an idea of how you were feeling emotionally because, you know, all of this traumatic stuff is going on. What was it like being there? How did you feel at that time?
It was total shock, and I tell you this, in my own mind, I thought it was going to be fatal.
So even though he was not reporting that on the air, he was getting some other unofficial information off the air and stuff, and these guys were just trying to hold it all together as the moments go on. As I mentioned, Gordon McClendon was at the trademark. He commandeered a Dallas police car and got a Dallas cop. If you can imagine in that moment how busy the police department guys were and all the patrolmen and stuff, he somehow convinced one of them, probably not so difficult at the time because of who he was, to give him an express ride from the trademark to his downtown Cliff Studios on Jackson Street. And some Dallas PD guy did it. So he arrives at the Cliff Studios, walks in, and goes straight to the air studio and goes on the air and begins co-anchoring with Joe Long and Gary DeLon. Gordon begins to broadcast, and here's number 13, part of what he began to say. He felt a little more comfortable in reporting some of this as opposed to Gary DeLon and Joe Long, who were very reluctant to report rumors.
We are in direct contact. We have been unable yet to verify the rumors, and to this point, they are strictly rumors that the president is dead. We will not know until the word comes through officially, but there have been strong indications that the president has expired. But again, we repeat, it is unofficial. President Kennedy and Governor John Connally of Dallas, of Texas, having been cut down by a thousand bullets today at lunch, they were shot as they toured downtown Dallas in an open car. Specialists are arriving at the hospital, which I might mention is a scene of wild pandemonium. As we were coming from the trademark a moment ago in a Dallas police car, there was a call for 20 police, additional police units at Parkland Hospital, and incidentally on the fifth floor of the downtown building from which the president and the governor were shot, they have now discovered empty rifle holes.
So now they're getting information about the rifle hulls being found. You know, as we mentioned, just as every moment goes by, there's just a little bit more trickling in. The reports continue to come in here, there, and everywhere. They're getting all kinds of conflicting reports at some times, and more of the unconfirmed reports. Number 14 here.
And it was just, you could say the motorcade was almost home free at the time this took place. It was leaving
almost there.
It was leaving the most congested area of downtown. From there on, the route would have been relatively free of bystanders because it was a major expressway. Cliff Hill, a Secret Service agent assigned to Mrs. Kennedy, said as the president was lifted from the rear of the White House touring car at Parkland Hospital, he's dead. However, that again comes under the category of an unconfirmed statement. We can only give you unconfirmed statements at this point. There are strong indications that the president has expired, but there has been no bulletin to that effect, and as Joe has told you, the last rites and sacrament have definitely been administered.
So now...
Is that Gordon McClendon there?
Yes, that was Gordon.
So he's reporting for the first time there that the last rites had been administered.
They had just reported that a moment or two before, and he's repeating it basically. But again, as the moments continue on, there's much speculation here. There's, in fact, other news media at the time that Gordon was making those statements. Other news media were reporting that they had unconfirmed reports that the president was dead. So a lot of rumors were flying around, a lot of reports that he was already dead. They wanted to be very, very careful not to say it until it was absolutely official. And they had Roy Nichols, one of their reporters, at Parkland Hospital, who was calling in saying, it appears that that is what has happened, but again, nothing has been official. Then the moment comes, I believe it was 1:38 Dallas time, when the official word does come across the United Press International teletype as a flash, the second of the day. The first one occurred during the first few moments where they said, flash, president has been seriously, perhaps fatally wounded. Now comes the second flash, and a flash on the teletypes during those times was something of enormous magnitude. You saw a flash on a teletype in those days maybe once in a decade, maybe. The news had to be, in the words of the United Press International, earth-shaking. And indeed, these were when the flash came across, which I have a copy of, that says, flash, president dead. You can hear in this report, Gordon McClendon is continuing his co-anchoring, and Joe Long rips the report off of the teletype and interrupts Gordon McClendon with this announcement.
Well, of course, the major attention is being focused upon the condition of the president. No one yet has any authoritative reports upon the nature of the wounds to Governor Connally. Bullet wounds were plainly visible in Connally's chest, so we know that he was shot in the chest. His condition, however, remains more of a mystery than that of the president of the United States. The president is clearly, gravely, critically, and perhaps fatally wounded. There are strong indications that he may already have expired, although that is not official. We repeat, not official. But the extent of the injuries to Governor Connally is a closely shrouded secret at the moment.
President Kennedy is dead, Gordon. This is official
word. The president is dead. The president, ladies and gentlemen, is dead at Parkland Hospital in Dallas.
And so that was it. That was the announcement they had all been waiting for.
Wow.
And that was the moment when the air just simply came out of the balloon.
But you could hear it in Gordon's voice, in Gordon McClendon's voice.
Right. You know, it's one thing for things to be, you know, speculated upon and unconfirmed report of this or that, but when you actually have the words come across, it was.
Yeah, let's hear this again, because I want to hear, because Gordon McClendon is just kind of going on saying, hey, this is just rumor, we're not reporting it, but he's telling what he knows, but when it becomes official, listen to his voice, how it changes.
Right.
Well, of course, the major attention is being focused upon the condition of the president. No one yet has any authoritative report upon the nature of the wounds to Governor Connally. Bullet wounds were plainly visible in Connally's chest, so we know that he was shot in the chest. His condition, however, remains more of a mystery than that of the president of the United States. The president is clearly, gravely, critically, and perhaps fatally wounded. There are strong indications that he may already have expired, although that it is not official. We repeat, not official. But the extent of the injuries to Governor Connally is a closely shrouded secret at the moment.
President Kennedy is dead, Gordon. This is official word.
The president is dead. The president, ladies and gentlemen, is dead at Parkland Hospital in Dallas.
You know, as many times as I have heard this, and it's got to be hundreds, if not more, as many times as I've listened to those words come across that tape, I still get chills on my arms just hearing those words. Because you get the enormous gravity of that statement.
Well, to me, it was like he was a newsman giving all the facts, and then when he finds out that he's actually dead, then he becomes a human being.
Right.
I mean, he gets out of his newsman voice, and all of a sudden he becomes a human being like everybody else when he says the president is dead.
Well, because it's his president, too. It's
right.
Everybody's president, and no matter how you felt about him politically or otherwise at the time, you know, an event like that is just something that you hope that you never, ever see.
You know, we were talking yesterday about the KERA thing, the thing that they did, about how the assassination was broadcast here locally.
Right.
They ran it a couple of nights ago. It's very, very good if you haven't seen it yet.
Yes.
Hopefully they'll rerun it again. And one thing that really, and I remember from being around, I was old enough to kind of get a little bit of a grasp on this, but not really.
Yeah.
The one point that really drives home was that back then, if you were a right-wing conservative and you were out there on the fringe of the right,
yeah,
and you were looking for a place to really rock and roll with all that, Dallas was it, man.
Well, you're right about that. I mean, the John Birch Society and other organizations were huge,
right,
in the Dallas area. The newspaper that morning had advertisements
taken out.
I
don't think that any major newspaper would print that full-page ad that they have, the one that says, "Welcome, Mr. Kennedy."
Wanted for treason or something.
Yeah.
Else. Remember that?
Yeah.
Just amazing the anti-Kennedy sentiment that was alive and well in Dallas at the time. But the interesting thing is, that motorcade, whereas everybody was so nervous because of what had happened to Adlai Stevenson just a few weeks before, where
he got bopped
in the head with a sign, and there was a report that somebody spit at him, and there's kind of a little bit of controversy over whether that happened. But the sentiment in the city was very strong, and they were very worried that an incident would happen, and they thought that they had taken every possible precaution. But then, in retrospect, as you were mentioning earlier, as I was driving up here, you know, how they possibly allowed all of the windows on the parade route
to
be open.
That should have been the first thing they get at.
How they allowed a president to ride in an open car is, you know, in disbelief. That would never happen today, I wouldn't imagine.
And
but
you know,
it did, and they thought that it would be all right. They thought that they had taken care of it.
Now when they have presidential motorcades, they're usually in secrecy. They don't let you know the route. And the route was posted in the morning news, I believe, or Times Herald.
I think both, in fact. But yes, the route was posted. So the reason they did that is because they wanted to get as big a crowd on the streets of Dallas as they could possibly get. And they did. They accomplished that completely.
I believe on the show I watched on KURA, they said 250,000 people.
Yeah, there was a report of 250,000 people.
And what was the population of Dallas at the time?
I don't have any idea.
Well, probably, I don't know. Maybe a million people?
Clearly, a lot of people came from outside of Dallas into the city to see it. But the whole downtown area just emptied out onto the streets, and people were hanging out of windows from the high-rises and so forth. And, you know, when you think about that now, because we have the knowledge of what can happen, it's just mind-boggling that they allowed that event to happen that way.
Yeah, and it's not like the concerns over what might happen weren't widely known. They were. You heard people talk about what might happen when the president visits here in a few days. I mean, it was very open, you know? Is there any place like that now in the United States where the president just wouldn't go to because of the hostile environment? I don't think there is.
I don't think that there is. But, again, a president wouldn't ride in an open car on the streets of any city, anywhere at all anymore, I don't think. I don't think there's ever been, I may be wrong, but I don't think there's ever been an open car motorcade since then, for obvious reasons.
You know, we have, you know, a much smaller level. Ryan's and I have both been at ballparks when the president has thrown out the first pitch.
I've done that too.
You can't imagine the security we have to go through and where you can and you can't go. Remember that, Ron?
Oh yeah, sure.
It's unbelievable. And maybe they learned from an obvious mistake that they made, because allowing somebody to get in basically a sniper's nest.
Yep.
I mean, they allowed whoever was up, because somebody was up there.
Yep.
They allowed them to just get up there and get a bead on the president with a scope.
But you know what? What also you have to consider when you think about this is the nature of America at that time. It's like a lot of times people don't think something will happen because it never did.
Right.
You know, there was no precedent. You know, no one imagined someone would actually try to shoot him. No one imagined that would happen.
I'll bet you.
So they didn't think it.
I bet in 1865 they were saying, how could somebody sneak up in a box and shoot the president in the back of the head? They were probably thinking the same thing then.
Well, because now there's a precedent. We know that somebody might do it.
Right.
And, you know, as bad as this may sound, there's people out there today that would do it. There's people out there today that would do it.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, you know, we have the security to prevent that from happening. I mean, just a few weeks ago, a car down there in Mississippi rammed the convention that President Bush was in.
They were just trying to get to a Walmart down there in Mississippi.
Probably right.
All right, some final thoughts with Steve next here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.